Father of glory, we bless you. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. Your greatness is unsearchable. Oh Lord, thou art very great, and thou art clothed with honor and majesty. All your ways are righteous, and all your works are holy. Blessed be your name. Tonight, we submit ourselves to you. Have your way in this meeting, and our lives will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. Are you excited to be here tonight? Can you shout and give Jesus all the glory? Oh, no. I said shout and give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. I'm going to share some word with you, then we zoom strictly into prayer. Hallelujah. So, we want to continue with our series. Someone says, this man loves series. Why does he like series? Yes, it's good to teach in series because that's how you can be well established. I believe tonight your life will never be the same again. I said, I believe tonight your life will never be the same again. We began to look at 10 precious remedies against Satan's devices. 10 precious remedies against Satan's devices. Now, I strongly believe that this teaching is very crucial because of the times that we are in. And it will be very expedient that you know the times and the seasons that we are in. Because if you don't understand these times, you will not align yourself to what God is doing. And once you don't align yourself to what God is doing, it is very highly possible that you align with what Satan is doing. Hallelujah. But anyway, we're looking at the 10 precious remedies against Satan's devices. We began to take the first point, and we said that if you want to resist Satan's onslaught against Satan's devices, because Satan has arrows, he has weapons, so many of them, there are 10 remedies that can deliver you from Satan's devices. And by these remedies, I'm not talking about die by fire, because that one doesn't kill Satan. There are some biblical truths that when we understand, Satan becomes scared. Praise God. We said, number one, you must walk by the rule of Scripture. Don't forget that. You walk by the rule of Scripture. Because Satan does not fear believers who don't obey the word of God. He doesn't fear you. You are no match for him. Even the Son of God, who is the Word of God incarnated, made flesh, he had to use "it is written" to come back to the devil. How much you more you, the Son of Man? Hallelujah. We said walk by the rule of Scripture, because if you don't walk by the rule, the word rule is canon. That means the measurement. The Scripture is your boundary. Once you are outside Scripture, you are vulnerable to the devil's plottings and devices. We said, number two, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Because when you grieve the Holy Ghost, you are in trouble. his ministry will be truncated in your life. His ministry will be ineffective in your life. And we spoke about 9 things that grieves the Holy Ghost. Please, these teachings are very vital. If you really want to walk with God, these teachings are vital. We said number one is corrupt communication. We saw that from Ephesians chapter 4 from the verse 29 down to 32. Corrupt communication. Number two, bitterness. Number three, wrath. Number four, anger. Number five, clamor. Number six, evil speaking. Number seven, malice. That's wickedness and evil behavior. Number eight, forgetting God, ignoring God in your life. And number nine, idolatry. That is anything that you exalt in your heart above God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. That is how come, if you realize, in the Old Testament, anytime Israel went into idolatry, God gave them up. Praise God. So idolatry is a serious matter. It grieves the Holy Ghost. We said number three, pursue heavenly wisdom. And we began to explain 4 kinds of wisdom in the Bible. We said number one is what? Worldly wisdom. That's wisdom that you get from the world. Number two is what? Sensual wisdom. That's wisdom you develop from emotions. For example, you are somebody that gives to people, and then one time you had a bad experience with someone. By that emotion, you decided that me, as long as I live, I will never give to anyone because of that one person. Now you are acting by what? Sensual wisdom. Praise God. Number three is what? Demonic wisdom. And we explained that, listen, there are demons who talk to us every time. Bible tells us that the whole world is ruled by the wicked one. There are demons all around whispering doctrines, teachings, inspirations to us. And demonic wisdom is being given to Christians almost every time. Suicidal thoughts is demonic wisdom. Revenge is demonic wisdom. But there is one final wisdom, which we call what? The heavenly wisdom. Is wisdom that is from above. And we explained that there are 3 sources of this kind of heavenly wisdom. We said the first source of the heavenly wisdom is from Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. So the Scripture has the capacity to give you spiritual wisdom and spiritual intelligence. We said the second source of this heavenly wisdom is from what? The Spirit of God, the leadings of God. The Holy Ghost can give you a wisdom that will make you a champion. He can give you wisdom, ideas, intelligence that is out of this world. He can teach you even where to study to pass an exam. It's a kind of wisdom. It's a source. And then the third source of wisdom is what? Counsel from wise men who have walked with God. So that means you can tap wisdom from books. You can tap wisdom from CDs and tapes of anointed men of God. You can tap wisdom from your pastor. So people who have walked with God carry the capacity of distilling heavenly wisdom into your spirit. And when you receive them, it makes you a champion. But listen, I didn't say this. I want to drop this. The foundation for heavenly wisdom is the fear of God. The foundation for heavenly wisdom is the fear of God. And when you read down through the book of Proverbs, the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God simply means reverence for God. Honor for God. And we all know that the fear of God is to eschew evil. Listen, when your reverence for God is in place, you are ready for wisdom. If you don't fear God, you can never walk in heavenly wisdom. Are we following this? So this is just an additional knowledge to add to what you have. We said number four is to what? Resist Satan's first overtures. We said an overture is an attempt or an approach to establish a matter. So Satan can approach you and bring a thought to you. And you see, the thing is that Satan is an invisible being. He's very invisible. So he operates by ideas, thoughts, philosophies. Anytime you have any thought, it's an approach from Satan. It's an overture from the devil. He wants to establish something with you. If Judas understood this, when the first overture came to betray his master, he would have turned it down. So we said you do what? You resist Satan's first attempt. Immediately. Listen, there's a time you'll be there, a thought will drop into your mind. A thought of lesbianism will drop into your mind. A thought of homosexuality will drop into your mind. You don't want to think it, but it will come. It will think it for you. And what is going to happen is that if you don't quickly deal with it immediately, it begins first as a what? As a thought. Secondly, it graduates where? Into your emotions. Now you begin to feel how it will experience. How the experience is going to be. And third graduation is where? Your will. So anytime you don't deal with things in your thought, it moves into your emotions. If you don't deal with it, what enters into your emotion, it now enters where? Your will. So it becomes easier for you to do Satan's will because you didn't deal with his thoughts. I keep repeating this deliberately so that you don't lose sight of such realities. They are very expensive realities I'm giving to you. So you resist it immediately. You reject it immediately. Sometimes you are there, voice comes and says you are going to die this year. It's a seed. I know of a young man who started prophesying from 25 that he's going to die at 30. And it's a demonic voice that came that he didn't deal with. So it created a spirit of fear in his emotions. He began to feel the... He drew the energy that he would die at 30. He died exactly at 30. So there are thoughts Satan will bring to you. If you don't resist it immediately, it's a seed that is going to water and it will grow. Are you following me? Number five, we say strive to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Strive to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we explain in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when a man is drunk, he's controlled by the wine. When a man is drunk by the Spirit, he's controlled by the Spirit. So the Bible is teaching us how you can be controlled by the Spirit. Number one, he says, what? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the first way of getting filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking. Number two is singing. Number three is making melody in your heart to the Lord. Number four is thanksgiving. So being thankful is how you make your spiritual tank full. So if you know how to take advantage of speaking to yourself in psalms, the word of God, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks to God. Anything that happens, you thank Him. Anything that happens, you thank Him. You just thank Him. You just thank Him. You are getting yourself filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is something you must strive to do. Sometimes you will not feel like doing it, but you have to do it. Praise God. Number six, this is what we got last week. Remain humble. Because pride is the enemy's advantage against your life. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. So if Satan wants you to fall, he begins with pride. And for your information, pride is what brought Satan down. So he knows how to puff men up to bring them down. That's his skill. And we said that there are three attitudes which we define in humility. We said number one, humility is your attitude towards God. your reverence for God. There are some of you, you have never knelt down during worship ever before. Sometimes you'll be in worship and the Holy Ghost will tell you, kneel down. But you check your dress. When you kneel down, the way is tight. If you don't take a otubete. Then you don't mind him. Of course, maybe you, the excuse you can give is the Holy Ghost. Don't worry. We are about to move very soon. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell you, roll on the floor. And you are wearing white that day. He will say, roll on the floor and just praise me by rolling on the floor. And you are wearing white. And you'll be like, how? Well, they will even think I'm mad. You start arguing with the Holy Ghost. One time we'll be worshiping and the Holy Ghost will tell you, empty your pocket. Hey, empty your pocket. I know you will never hear that voice. I know. I know you won't hear it. You won't hear that voice. How can I hear that voice? Empty your pocket. It can't happen in my generation. But he will tell you to empty your pocket. That when you do that, it's a sign of humility. In Africa, humility is putting your hands at your back. But the number of people who put their hands at their back and insult the person, they it's a mystery. One of our pastors at church was preaching, and he said that there are wives who respect their pastors more than their husbands, and when they see their pastor, then they bow down like this. Then the man said, may you remain like this forever. Hallelujah. It's not bowing. You see, Anna is a posture of the heart and not the body. So the body is only a reflection of what is in the heart. So Anna is more an attitude of the heart than the act. Because there are many people who show Anna from the act and they don't mean it. He said they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. That's what the Bible said. So humility is first your attitude towards God. That's the first foundation. Because if your attitude towards God is not right, in honor and reverence. And let me tell you, if God wants to test your humility, he checks it during the time of worship. How you behave during worship is a sign whether you honor him or not. I'm saying something serious. How you behave when it's time for worship and praise, he checks it. Some of you are only cool on Sundays. Your coolness begins on Sundays. Meanwhile, from Monday to Saturday, you are a hot guy. Yeah, you are a hot lady. You dance. Only on Sunday, that's when you become a gentleman, a gentlewoman. That's when you pocket. Meanwhile, that girl broke your heart and you were kneeling down. To beg her, you were crying. What human beings can do, baby, I'm sorry, and you are kneeling down, I'm sorry, but you never knelt down for Jesus. Hell, the day we go to heaven, it will be a big mystery in heaven. I'm telling you, somebody's looking at my face like, this guy, he's a prophet. Let me just proceed. And we said, humility number two is the attitude towards yourself. Your attitude towards yourself. How you see yourself. When you are corrected, you are angry. You are offended when your title is reduced. You are called Pastor so-so-and-so and they call you Brother so-so-and-so. That's the World War III. Since that day, the person becomes an enemy. Your heart. How you see yourself. Some of you have graded yourself here. This is where you are. So you can't be corrected. You can't be instructed. No. And God watches that thing. And you see, Satan loves it when that's your posture. He loves it. Because you go far with him. You will journey very far. You go very far with him, I'm telling you. So how you see yourself? The Bible says, do not esteem yourself higher than you ought to think, but condescend to men of low estate. You know, there are people who don't roll with people who don't have money. You see that lifestyle? You only greet the affluent. You greet people who have money. You greet people who are dressed well. You greet people who have iPhone 15. So if someone is not dressed well, you just pass by the person. It's happening in church, I'm telling you. It's happening in church today. You check people who come and then they come with cars. They are the people you salute. The people who walked and entered here. The people who didn't dress well. You don't give them attention. You don't even greet them. It's their heart. Oh, God is watching your heart. Let me tell you. Learn to honor all men. That's what scripture said. He says, honor all men. Do what? Honor all men. And God knows my heart. I have never dishonored any human being in my life. And God checks that thing. You see, sometimes people are praying, Lord, elevate, elevate. And God is checking you if you're elevated. You will trample upon men. I'm telling you. And God is observing you. Satan is also observing you. And number three, humility is your attitude towards others. Your attitude towards others. The Bible says we should submit ourselves to one another. There's a reason. You can never live in isolation of other believers. There are some believers God will give you who will be a check on you. They will correct you. They will instruct you. They will tell you this thing you did, the way you spoke, it wasn't right. How you handle those matters really matters. Can you be corrected by someone who does not have money? Today's message, which is number 7, right? Now, this is a very strong point. We're going to do this in 20 minutes and we pray. Number 7, maintain a strong and constant watch. Maintain a strong and constant watch. Into brackets, be on guard. Be on guard. Maintain a strong and constant watch. Into brackets, be on guard. Hallelujah. Please, is this message blessing somebody? Maintain a what? Strong and constant watch. Now, note that point I'm giving to you. Constant watch. Into bracket, be on guard all the time. You see, many Christians lose guard easily. And I'll give you practical examples which will deliver you. Be on guard at all times. Now, if you understand these three things, you will go far in life. There are three gates in every Christian's life. The first gate is your eyes. The second gate is your ears. And the third gate is your heart. Someone says, Malago, how about your mind? Your mind is not really, really, really a gate, because it is through the gate of your eyes and your ears that your mind is influenced. Please, are you following that? So if you check the book of Proverbs chapter 4, the verse 20. Now, you're going to observe something amazing there. Because God knows that your eyes and your ears and your heart are gates, He gave us an instruction of how to protect it. He said, so this, I'm teaching you how to maintain a strong and constant watch to be on guard on your life. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto what? My sayings. That's the first gate. So your ear inclines. Number the next verse. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He mentioned these three gates there. He didn't continue to mention even mind. The eye, the ear, and the heart. Then he says, let them not depart from the eyes. Keep them in the midst of the heart. Look at the verse 22. He says that what? For they are life. If you want to see life many days, if you want to see good things, he said that for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So spiritual sickness and disease and infirmities, it begins from how you manage these three gates. I love the verse 23. Are you ready for it? Check. 1, 2, go. Read loudly. Give that to me in Message translation. We're going to read that also in NLT. Message translation. Now look, he says, keep what? Vigilant watch over your heart. That is where life starts. So hear me carefully. If Satan gets your eyes, your ears, and your heart, you are in trouble. You know, Israel has planned to take over the whole territory of Gaza. We call it invasion. Satan is always plotting an invasion, I'm telling you. And the gate, you see, the Hamas guys, you know, these guys from Gaza, they used underground tunnels to gain access into Israel. So they realized that the borders was locked, the seas was locked, so they used underground. So Satan will use every means to reach you. They use underground tunnels. They entered Israel with ease. So for years, no, you know, Israel has been trying to destroy Gaza for a long time. And what the mistake they did was that anytime, in fact, I'm told the war between Israel and Gaza, it started in 1987. You were not born. 1987. That's when the war started. And what happens is that when Israel got into the territory, they killed all the terrorists and left their children. Anytime they destroyed the Gazarians, they leave their children. And their children will grow and come and revenge. A war that began in 1987, their children came to continue. So this time Israel has decided that they will end Gaza completely by taking over the whole land. That's why they have sent 300,000 soldiers to go and do that job. If they did that job long ago, they wouldn't need 300,000. Are you following what I'm teaching? Now, this thing I'm teaching you is a very serious matter. Satan is always seeking an opportunity to invade your heart, invade your eyes, and invade your ears. He says, now give that to me in NLT. We're going to read. He says, that is where life starts, right? Now look at what NLT says. Can we read together loudly? 1, 2, go, like a stadium. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. He says, look, he says, above all else. Hmm. For it determines the course of your life. This is a serious matter. And what we are saying on this point is to keep strong, constant watch. I'll be teaching you something in the next 5 minutes, which will blow your mind. I caught the revelation 3 days ago. Something happened to Lot. Do you know that Lot was a righteous man according to scripture? Was a righteous man. But something happened to him. And it's a warning to every Christian. Now, Lot was a righteous man, but his environment was not righteous. And listen, the Bible tells us that because of his environment, he was bombarded consistently. And the Bible is going to tell us the gates the enemy used. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the verse 8, you're going to read that in two versions. The Bible says, for that righteous man, he was called righteous. So hear me. You may be a very good Christian, but it is not eternally guaranteed. He said, for that righteous man dwelling where? Among them. Now listen, we are among them. We are where? Among them. Tell them I'm among them. As long as Facebook is still alive, you are among them. Your roommates are still alive, you are among them. TV is still alive, you are among them. YouTube, you are among them. Instagram, you are among them. TikTok, you are among them. Talking together. He said, in what? Seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from what? From day to day with their unlawful deeds. Satan has patience for you. Give that to me in NLT. It will bless your life. Watch it. NLT. He says, yes, Lot was a righteous man who was what? Tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard. What? Day by day. Day after day. Saw and heard. Satan knows that your mind and your eye and your ear and your heart, they are gates. He will bang it. He will hit it hard to make sure he breaks the gates into pieces. So when we are saying that, maintain a strong and constant watch, we are saying that be on guard in what you hear, what you see, and what gets into your heart. That's why you see something. Morning devotion is so crucial, because what you see and what you hear from the devotion is what actually also guards your heart. I'm teaching good here. Tell someone, guard your heart with all diligence. So when we say that, we mean we must set a guard upon our senses. Set a guard at the gate of our imagination. That's what we mean. You set a guard on the gate of your imagination. On the gate of your imagination. And your heart. It also means we must keep watch of our private thoughts. It means to keep watch over your private thoughts. These are thoughts you don't share with anyone. Those thoughts are very dangerous. Your private thoughts. They are thoughts you think alone. Nobody. The day God opens your private thoughts to people, people's heart will beat. Set a watch over your private thoughts. What we also mean is that make sure no wicked thing is set before your eyes. Make sure no wicked thing is set before your eyes. Make sure what? No wicked thing is set before your eyes. Come with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, the verse 8 to 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. Please write this scripture down. It's going to bless your life. I love it. Now, you know, normally people quote and say that your adversary, the devil, is roaring like a lion seeking whom he may devour. They don't read it completely because, listen, you have to read it completely to understand. He says, first of all, be what? Be sober and vigilant. That is the point we are making here. Why must you be vigilant? Because your adversary. Oh my goodness. This is spiritual intelligence I'm giving to you. So he's not just telling you that Satan, your adversary. No. He first says, be sober and vigilant. And the reason is because of adversary. Please, are you following this thing? So I'm sure somebody's wondering, what does it mean to be sober? Anytime you say, someone says, okay, so what does sober mean? What does vigilant mean? If you are struggling to understand an English word, that is tough. Quickly use another version. That's what Bible study is all about. To simplify the word of God to a place where you are able to comprehend it. Simple. Change the version to NLT. He says what? Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. Simple. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone he may devour. Now, you'll be shocked to know that the word devour actually in Greek does not just mean to eat. It means to sip a straw. That experience, that's what Satan is seeking to do. Tell somebody. To sip, it also means to drink. So Satan does not only want to eat you, he wants to drink you. Moving about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may sip. So now he says, be sober and vigilant. Now, what does it mean to be sober? Are you ready for it? Are you sure? Oh, I'm not feeling you guys here. Are you sure? Now, what does it mean to be sober? Now, to be sober means three things. This will bless you. Write that down. Number one, it means to think clearly. It means to think clearly. That's number one. You got that down? Number two, it means to think carefully. To think carefully. And number three, this is a blessing. It's to think biblically. That's the meaning of be sober. Be sober means to think what? Clearly. What? Carefully and biblically. So when God is saying be sober, he's telling you to think clearly. Be very sure and clear about what you are thinking about. Because listen, you know, too many Christians are loose in their thoughts. Any thoughts, they entertain it. But the Bible is telling us that, listen, your mind and your vigilance has a lot of role to play in the enemy seeking you. So your vulnerability is you not being sober and vigilant. So be sober means to think clearly, to think what? Carefully and biblically. Now, what does it mean also to be vigilant? Now, this is good. To be vigilant means to be watchful. Watchful and alert. Alert. Can we go on? And alert. Now, alert to three things. Alert to the signs. So I'm explaining this scripture. Okay? He says, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is what? As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, listen. He's telling you that Satan has employed himself to seek you. So you are Satan's job. You are Satan's job. He walketh about. So see, Satan along with the demons are looking for loose believers. Loose believers. Believers who take life for granted. Yesterday, my mom visited me at home and she was telling me about one of his members. There was a young lady that he was dating. The lady was a virgin. And they walked together. And they fell in love. And that was the first time the lady fell in love. And this guy convinced this lady. He says, I don't want to do it. I want us to marry. The guy said, oh, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. For the lady, and at a point, he had sex with the lady. And the lady had an issue with her fallopian tube. Because the lady got pregnant. When he did the first time, pull. Shout pull. When they are so they were expecting the baby, and unfortunately, she had a problem. And then she lost the fallopian tube. And I'm told that the end result was that she couldn't deliver. Something else, another complication came. And you won't believe it. Some few months later, the guy. You know what I'm talking about? He did what? You guys, you have been doing it. Tell me. He did what? He disappointed a girl and went to take another girl. And the girl never cursed him. The girl never cursed him. But the girl started weeping. Called the guy. The guy wasn't picking. He called the guy's mother. The girl was weeping. He said, ah, you have hurt me. You have hurt me. You have hurt me. You have hurt me. Ah, Kweku. The guy took it for granted. See, how, if you see how the guy is struggling, his business, he was into serious chairs, his dust of chairs. Everything has crashed. Everything has crashed. You know what happened to the guy? He didn't have intelligence. If you haven't, see, Satan is looking for that opportunity, because once the guy said, ah, Satan said, hey, Kasa. Ebejuma, anything you say, Ebejuma, you are a tongue talker. But you'll be shocked. So Satan is looking for legalities. He's looking for legality everywhere. Legality everywhere. Tell someone legality. Satan, let me tell you something. If you read the Bible, you will know that Satan is one of the best lawyers you can find. He was the one that approached God with a legality concerning Job, and God allowed it. How did he convince God? And when Satan finds a legal ground, you are in trouble. So the Bible is saying, be vigilant. So now, the guy had to go and find snap and some other items to take it to the family, to go and beg the family for the girl to forgive. Hey! He says, be vigilant, be sober. Because hey, when you lose mistake, Satan will get an advantage over your life. So many Christians, you see, you had a bad dream. In the dream, somebody appeared to you and said, you will not cross 2024 after elections. And you are still eating beans and cocoa. You don't have intelligence. I had a dream that was last week. You know, now because of my health challenge, I'm not able to pray as I was doing before. So I've relaxed a bit in my prayer life because I can't pray for long. I've not been able to fast for 10 weeks because of the situation I'm in. But I had a dream. In the dream, I was going out. My house, the padlock, in the dream, it was dark. The padlock was, it had closed. But the metal gate, someone had bended the metal gate. And the gate has been lifted. And there was a loophole in both the big gate and the small gate. And I woke up. You see, you will have such a dream and you are still moving on in life. You had a dream. You saw some animals, scorpions, snakes, two times, three times, four times. An announcement is coming. Something is about happening and you are quiet. I had a dream. In the dream, this is just about 2 weeks ago. In the dream, you know, Prophet Felix works in the government area. So he got me a sticker from state protocol. So me right now, when you see me, you can't stop me. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? So I had a dream. In the dream, I was going to sit in my car, going somewhere. When I sat in the car, somebody has scattered papers. So somebody has opened the letterbox, scattered the papers in the letterbox. And so I was like, who came into my car? I checked whether something has been stolen. Everything was intact. So I said, okay, well, I sat in the car, and then in the dream, who was the one driving? And we moved. When we moved, we got to a police barrier. And they said we should stop the car. So in the dream, okay, you know, in real life, I have a sticker. So I don't respect the. I just tell you that. Just watch the sticker. Then I move. In the dream, I was about to do, when I checked, the sticker was not there. No. Then I realized that the papers that were scattered, no, it was the sticker that they removed. So now they have to check your license, they have to check your insurance, they have to check your roadworthy. I didn't have it. In the dream, I was sweating. So I was just about to find out if I could beg. Then from nowhere, the policeman's face changed and he says, you know something, just pass through and go. And then I passed through. That's how I woke up successfully. Now, you see, there are some dreams here. It's not sometimes too pleasant when someone interprets your dream. You must be so spiritual because every dream is customized to your life. So sometimes when people tend to interpret your dreams for you, they interpret it from their perspective. Meanwhile, there's something going on in life the person who is interpreting does not know. Please, are you following what I'm saying? So you must develop your spiritual life to be able to interpret your own dreams. I know what is going on in my life. I understood it. Because once you have that sticker, you have access everywhere. That's my spiritual authority. It gives me access. But there was a barrier. Barrier, that's a demonic resistance. That's the police barrier. There are some dimensions in the spirit. Demons will never permit you to go. Do you know that even church growth, there are demons that prevent it? You have to pray to break through to be able to move through. I'm telling you, see, there's a certain level of wealth. It is locked. Once someone is hitting that place, that person gets demonic attention. Because when a certain individual is having a certain capacity of money, you can be able to expand God's kingdom. That is why Elon Musk and all these people have money. You know why? Because they are serving Satan's purposes. Satan has released the gates for them. So I was stopped. And the means through which to get access was removed. I'm trying to teach you something about being very vigilant. Vigilant. Tell somebody be vigilant. Now, look at something. So we said that it means to be alert to signs of, number one, enemy presence. It means to be alert to the signs of, number one, enemy presence. Number two, enemy activity. And number three, enemy invasion. So when the Bible is saying be sober, be vigilant. He's saying be alert to number one, enemy what? Presence. Number two, enemy activity. And number three, enemy invasion. Don't forget this thing. There are some things you experience, you know that no, Satan is around. That's enemy presence. Be very vigilant. There are some things you experience, you realize, no, this is an enemy activity going on here. While men slept. And hear me, listen. Satan knows that you can't die spiritually anymore. So what he can make you do is to sleep spiritually. Can I shock you? Do you know that Samson's hair, the secret of his hair was in his strength was in his what? His hair. Before his hair was cut, what happened to him? He slept. Before Satan would destroy any major thing in your life, he will make you lukewarm and sleepy spiritually. He will make sure you stop your quiet time. That's a sign of slumber and sleep spiritually. Because anybody who is asleep exhibits symptoms of death, but the person is still breathing. Because when you are asleep, you are inactive. You don't move. When you are asleep, you are not conscious of your current environment. That's why someone can enter and steal your phone because you are asleep. Satan knows he can't kill you spiritually. He knows. But he can keep you asleep. In sleep. So you must be alert to enemy what? Enemy presence, enemy activity, and enemy invasion. Sometimes you will not know. Satan wants to invade something in my life. There are some dreams I get. I just know something's wrong. No matter how sick I am, I'll fast. Please, are you following what I'm telling you? Listen, don't say, you see, Satan doesn't care your age. So don't say, I'm too young to suffer affliction. Really? It's better you have the intelligence now. Now, this is what I'm going to say in closing. Now, I saw a verse which tells something in my spirit that every child of God needs to know. Are you ready? Oh, no. Your response, I won't say it again. I've closed. Are you ready? Okay, that's fine. Nehemiah chapter 4, the verse 17. Now, you see, when you are in a church that despises revelation, you are wasting your time. That's why I'm very, very particular about giving some of these serious stuff to you. Now, this is Nehemiah with a team that are doing a building construction. They were building something. And they had an opposition from the enemy. Are you following the storyline? Now, he says, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and the rulers and to the rest of the people. The verse 17. I don't know why you're in 14. He says now. So at the point, they have to be very vigilant because they could be building and the enemy will come there and come and crash the building or kill some of the people there. Are you watching? So the Bible says, they which builded on the wall and they had that bare burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work and with the other held the weapon. Go ballast. Whilst they were building, they were using one hand to build, they were using one hand to prepare for war. Let's continue. Next verse. He says, for the builders, everyone had his. How can builders have sword? What is a builder doing with a sword? So he says, the builders, everyone has his sword, get that by his side, and so build it. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Look at the next verse quickly. He says, and I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. Next verse. He says, in what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Next verse. He says, now, can you imagine they were having the sword? Yeah, they said, God shall fight for us. So if you have a bad dream and you say, God will fight, and you don't have your sword, you are in trouble. Some people have put everything on God. Look, they had their sword, they said, God shall fight. So they are trying to say that we have a sword, but we trust in God's fight. God's energy, his enablement to bring us victory. Are you getting that thing? So he says, so we labored, we did what? Labored in the work, and half of the men held their spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. That means they held it for long. Vigilant. Now look at the next thing too. He says, likewise, at the same time, said I to the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard to us and labor on the day. Look at the next verse, final verse. He says, so neither I nor the brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, the whole armor of God, saving that everyone put them off for worship. Now, this is very interesting. The Bible is telling us that these people were building, at the same time they had spears on the other hand preparing for war. Now, what Nehemiah did is actually a type of what Christians do. Christians are called to be builders. But you cannot build without being a warrior. So the Bible is telling us that when they were building with one hand, they held a sword on the other hand, waiting on guard if the enemy should appear. Hear me? This is a very important point before we pray. Hear this carefully. Anytime you want to build anything for God, the enemy will show up. And it takes spiritual intelligence to be a builder and a fighter at the same time. Please, are you following what I'm saying? So, he says one hand was building, the other hand was prepared to fight. And hear this carefully. If you really want to build a spiritual life, build a kingdom, build a walk with God, the enemy will appear to make sure you don't succeed. Please, it's something you must understand. Satan will never make you succeed in any spiritual building. Until you are on guard with your sword and weapon on your other hand. Because if you don't stand and withstand Satan face to face, you can't build anything for God. That's why anytime you want to fast, you are building something. You want to pray, you are building something. You want to be committed in church, you are building something. You are building something new. Satan will show up to destroy the work. You must fight to keep it. So hear me. Fight to build. Be on guard with your sword while you are building your spiritual life. Whilst you are building your career, whilst you are building your marriage, whilst you are building your ministry, you must be on guard, because Satan will not spare you. There are spiritual Tobiases and Sambalats who will bring down anything you are building. Please, are you following this thing? So you must have your weapons for war and your tools for labor. So hear me, we are called to be laborers and fighters. Unfortunately, in Christianity, you cannot be a laborer without a fighter, without being a fighter. You have to listen, you have to fight to keep anything that is spiritual. Yes. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. You know, when we have revelation, our prayer changes. God is no more concerned about the duration. No. He's concerned about the revelation by which you are praying. Because if you don't have revelation, if you pray 10 hours, it won't change anything in your life. You want to pray this short prayer before you rise up, so we go deeper. That anything that Satan is using to limit what you are building in God, you want to ask God to expose it. You want to ask God to open your eyes. He should expose that thing that Satan is using to bring limitations to your walk with God. You want to ask God to expose it. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Maybe Satan took advantage of your ignorance, and he has introduced you to something that is destroying your life. He has introduced you to something that is corrupting you gradually. You are not realizing it. Gradually, something is corrupting. You also want to ask help from the Lord. The Lord, help me. I want to hear your voice as you pray. Kodi eva sota kabari esusa fala kabashke. Zute bekambro to sefakaya sheke balatuosa. Mokombro shapatai. Any weakness, you want to also pray that any weakness Satan is taking advantage in your life. Any kind of weakness that Satan is taking advantage of in your life, you want to ask God to spread his strength there. For the Bible says, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You want to pray that any weakness Satan is capitalizing on in your life, the Lord should supply his strength in that weakness. Lift your voice and pray that prayer. Lift your voice and pray that prayer. By the next 5 minutes, you are all going to rise up. We will hold our hands. We will speak in tongues non-stop. We will just speak in tongues continuously. Keep building the pressure. Build it up. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Let it rise. Let it rise. Increase the tempo and the energy. Kalivro safada kabana so safalino. Kukula vratute seke moloshota. Mokondos. You want to pray that any thought, anything that is fighting your spiritual life, Lord, take it out of the way. Lift your voice and pray. Anything fighting your spiritual life, hindering you from making spiritual advancement, Lord, take it out of the way. Supply me new strength and energy to do business with you. Lift your voice and pray. Let the tempo increase. No, no, kopala daso tataletos. Kopratos ete kaprasos toshata. Zuzo kopapala tatan. Shkatata tapalatata. Kaya papapalatata. Can the whole house be filled with praying men and women? Increase the energy. Come on. Every son, lift up your voice and pray. If you can speak in tongues, increase your tempo. Can you rise up right now? As you pray in the spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. We are on the battlefield. You are doing warfare. Sataba komra to sifele papara. Shaba komro. Let me hear the saints pray. Don't pray anatom. There are some kind of prayers that doesn't work in this atmosphere. There are some prayers that doesn't work in this atmosphere. Lift your voice and offer prayers. Let your incense rise. Tatala tatania mama papala rakapala shata tana manosha talia branda. Lift your voice. Let me hear you lift your voice and pray. Zana na 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 mata.
Falua la papash. Takala prama no sota tango.
Let your voice pray.
Let your voice pray.